This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
No, settle down. No, you're too loud. It didn't work. We told you it wasn't going to work at that volume. Start again. Do it better. We got to do it better than that. We told you that volume would not work on the Zoom.
My city!
We've got a locker room commotion!
Yeah.
Yes! Locker room commotion!
I feel it.
They beat the Celtics at the Celtics' own game. Four white guys. We were just rooting for Myers Leonard to get in the game. We'll do it your way, too, Celtic fans. Keep waiting for Gordon Hayward. It'll be fun watching him chase around on that ankle, Duncan Robinson. Tremendo what? Billy, what is it that Sixto said? Jimmy Butler has? Tremendo cojones. Thank you, Billy, for sitting it out like the executive that you are.
Series is wicked over.
The Boston locker room had a commotion, Stugatz. There was reporting from the Boston locker room. Malika Andrews, Marcus Smart is screaming at someone in the Celtics locker room or several people. The yelling continues as Smart exits the locker room swearing. Also from Malika Andrews, there were loud clanks like someone throwing items coming from the Celtics locker room. We have what Christine Lisi is exclusively reporting is a locker room commotion.
Or what Brett Favre would call a schism. How about that?
I don't know if it's a schism yet. I think after three games, maybe you need a schism. I don't think we've qualified a schism yet.
You had babyface Brad Stevens between the third and fourth quarter. And if Marcus Smart, the reports are that he was yelling at teammates before or after the game. After the game is this report. I believe every word of that report. And I believe that could be the case any game the Celtics play that Marcus Smart is yelling at someone after the game.
I believe that that's a perpetual state for Marcus Smart. That for the Miami Heat is now five double-digit comebacks in their last six victories. Bam Adebayo is supposed to join us in 25 minutes if he wakes up. Mike Ryan, even though the series is not over, Mike Ryan, at the end of last night's game, Jimmy Butler going behind the back with his opposite hand. The Heat right now, Celtics, are beating you with their opposite hand. Mike Ryan sat down in an uncomfortable chair and did something that I would wish upon no person in this audience. Listen to calls to sports radio from irate Boston Celtics fans.
Oh, that is heaven.
There are not many teams or cities that will get us to sit in an uncomfortable chair and listen to sports radio calls in the middle of the night unless we get to take a soft and warm soak in your tears, Boston.
There aren't many cities that get calls in the middle of the night, period.
That's right. But the Boston radio stations were filled with complaints about Tatum's elbow and Marcus Smart getting mad at everybody and Brad Stevens getting out coached. Two games in, the Miami Heat are the team from the bubble. I guess both of them and the Nuggets. Weird pandemic season. Five out of six comebacks. And there is a headline on ESPN.com.
Just kidding, losers. You don't get that. You're shipping out all right.
Doubt it.
Have the Miami Heat broken the Celtics is the question on ESPN.com. Has there been a breaking of the Celtics as there's a locker room commotion? That is where we are, people.
Yes.
Miami fans, soak that in, slather it, rub it on your nipples. You've got a situation in Boston where there's a locker room commotion and headlines then say, have the Celtics been broken. That's where we are with this situation in this series right now.
I love that. Two games on a neutral court. Is the team broken? And it is. I believe the Celtics are broken. I mean,
doesn't every team look broken at 2-0? Like, if you're on the wrong end of 2-0, isn't that an assignment that we could give every team that's ever been down 2-0?
It's impossible to be down 2-0, especially when you lose 2 on your home court with the logos on your court. It's impossible for you to not feel broken. Yes, you're right.
I don't think the analysis ever after 2-0 when you're up is the locker room commotion. It's the sound in the bubble of somebody throwing weights. That doesn't sound hygienic or safe. Marcus Smart just hissing because he wants everyone to be as tough as he is, but he's looking and finding those people in the other uniform, and one of them has a ponytail or man bun. His breath smells like kombucha. And how about him breaking over? And he used to be a Celtic. He used to be your favorite kind of player, you know, a fan favorite. Kelly Olynyk.
A hard worker.
A grinder.
A guy with deceptive speed.
Maximizes his talent.
Had to hurt. That big three in the third quarter last night had to hurt Stephens. I mean,
Goran Dragic from a war-torn country. What is going on with Goran Dragic? These sight lines in this bubble, like, honest to God, if you want to sit here and talk about pandemic distortions, when you hear these people talk about the sight lines in the bubble allowing for better shooting, some of these playoff games are a little more high scoring than you might expect playoff basketball to be, even with the new math of the threes. But if we're talking about who is going to get the advantages in the absence of a home court, it's going to be a great shooting team with better sight lines. Like that, if you're looking for why the Heat are 10-1 and are doing things that are unexpected and have come back from five out of their last six victories are double digit deficits, that's a pretty good place to start.
Regardless of sight lines, though, Dragic is hitting some of the most, you have to hit those shots, and he is hitting ridiculous shots. These are step back threes that he's hitting. I mean, it's crazy.
Right. It's a two way street, too. Marcus Smart is also shooting a lot better inside the bubble, so it does level the playing field. But if you were looking to poke holes in the Miami Heat's performance and apply the dreaded asterisk, usually Duncan Robinson doesn't have that kind of performance on the road. It's hard to have role players perform like that on the road. But the sidelines, absolutely. I'm sure someone's going to do a quantifiable study on exactly what's
because
happening.
Because the Heat, look, their ball movement has been great all season. They're unselfish. They have rest now because they're not traveling all over the place. But we can all definitively say, as people who have watched the Miami Heat play basketball, and it's not just the scoreboard and it's just not just the winning, they look overwhelming. Like, they look offensively very well distributed.
And Kirk Goldsberry has to be the overwhelming favorite to write that article, right,
yeah,
Mike?
Yeah.
Is he?
Or Haberstroh.
More than Haberstroh?
We need to know what's going on with the sidelines. Yeah.
So somebody is writing in here that Jimmy Butler has made 28.1% of 267 jumpers. The question mark and the headline from Goldsberry is "Let Jimmy Shoot?" Question mark. Out of 190 NBA players that tried at least 200 jump shots this season, Butler ranked last in both field goal percentage, 28%, and effective field goal percentage, 33%. And it's why he doesn't shoot it that often. And the Celtics just lost to 4 of 11 Jimmy Butler.
And bizarrely enough, his three-point shooting has come on inside the bubble. I think Tim Reynolds tweeted out that he made 17 straight threes in warm-ups. So people are shooting the ball better.
Wow, we've got a locker room commotion on one end, and we've got people counting jumpers in warm-ups. Okay, way to go, Tim Reynolds. Counting warm-up jumpers.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Makes you feel alive, though, doesn't it?
I mean, counting of warm-up jumpers. Yes. I would say it just makes me feel slightly more normal. You know, you got a lot of weird things happening. You got hurricanes. You got fires that are producing tornadoes.
Right.
I don't know if you saw this in Arizona, but on a weather map, a team or flock of bats appeared on a meteorological map. And then you've also got Cardi B divorcing Offset. So you've got all those things happening in apocalyptic America. All right, so I want to understand, Chris, because we work this out and we rarely work stuff like this out. If you were listening to the digital only hour before we started our national show, we were actually practicing on the Zoom the correct volume level for Chris Cody to begin the show, and then it descended into what sounded like bedroom sounds, and it was all uncomfortable. And then we started the show, and we told you as we started the show, we specifically said in the previous segment, hey, most of this is all ad lib. We're not scripting anything, but we need to check the sound volume on this Zoom. So let's practice Chris Cody enthusiasm. And so, Chris Cody, the national show started. You were leading us, and your mic immediately short-circuited because you were doing all sorts of calisthenics and somersaults in your home. You were screaming way too loud, and no one can hear what you were screaming. So can you explain to me what happened there?
I'm sorry that I did not scream at the top of my lungs at the right volume for you, okay? As you can hear, my voice is shot after that, so you're welcome. But I feel like there was audibles being called at the last second. I was just trying to bring it, man. And I thought I did. I'm excited for the C team. I'm sorry. I'll bring it, dial it back a little next time. I'm sorry.
But we practiced during the digital hour, and then you came out and did what you weren't supposed to do. That was the frustration.
No, stop blaming Chris. Like, once we realized that the Zoom audio wasn't working exactly how, I'd overcompensate by playing the song super loud, which probably prioritized the audio. So he had no choice but to be muted because the song was taking precedent.
In Chris's defense, as just an observer, I was also somewhat confused because right before there were hands swinging and there was just overheard punt on the bit. And Chris, as the open started, said, wait, am I going first? Like, turned on his microphone. I'm like, oh my God, that's going to come out on the air. But he's like, do I start? Am I going first? And then he's like pointing at himself and no one's looking.
It was like one of those football plays where the quarterback's trying to change the play and audible, and then like he's like waving the receiver, no, go back that way,
Hold on.
And Chris is why we waving don't script to see things, what's so. Going on, and my only help was, and I shrugged my shoulders.
Yeah, okay, and I noticed all of this, and so this is what I want to let the audience behind the curtain. The reason that we're so good at just generally reacting to incompetence around here is because we're experiencing it so often that we've had to develop a muscle that just sinks into it being awful. That was us trying to plan something, and it went as expected. Mike got angry and said punt on the bit. Chris Cody was confused looking at the Zoom and at the wrong volume, and Billy was just an amused observer, just looking and being like, oh, this is funny and weird. What do you mean, no? You just admitted to that.
No. Because at first I heard punt on the bit, so I'm wagging my finger saying, no, you're not starting. And then I said, you know what? If he doesn't start, and then there's
I didn't hear punt on the bit.
No one heard that.
Who said punt on the bit?
My body was saying punt on the bit, but I certainly never vocalized punt on the bit.
I did see Billy do the Mutombo finger. I did see him do that.
Nobody told me to punt on the bit. I'm just waiting for Chris to come in at the right volume, and he does not come in at the right volume. He's just screaming, and all I see is sort of his freckled loins because he's not wearing pants.
What is this, the Celtics locker room? Okay, stop with the finger pointing. Look, the play broke down. We tried to make the most of it when the play broke down. We're not Lamar Jackson. We're decidedly not the MVP of when plays break down. Let's just build on this, get better, because we're going to have two more victories to celebrate.
There, see, that's better.
That's all we needed.
That's it. That's all we were looking for. That's all you needed to do. We worked it out. You were making the uncomfortable sexual sounds. We had worked the whole thing out. It was appropriately sensual. You had conjured up the images of Larry Bird on a sideline, delicately towel snapping someone's fanny. And then you just ruined the whole thing. And Billy, of course, blamed everybody and sat it out. What are you shaking
That's
your head
not
no
true.
For?
I offered a suggestion. I said, do it over the phone and the audio won't crap out. And you guys said, oh, no, we can't do that. So, okay, do whatever you guys want.
Okay, so there
yeah,
it
you
is.
You bailed on us.
So you did.
I did not bail.
Yes, you did.
Whatever you guys did. You guys are always okay.
Thank you. That's all we wanted to get to. We are expected to have Bam Adebayo next, but he might be sleeping, in which case we might have Tim Kirkshin next, but it might not be him, and it might just be us bickering some more.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Bubble has, like, fun nightclubs that they can go to celebrate a win like that last night. You think he was out late at Club Bubble?
No, he was honestly in bed, like, 20 minutes after that game finished. I still haven't had 100% confirmation because he's been sleeping for over 12 hours now.
Bam Adebayo, the biggest star in sports right now. Going to join us in just a second on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line.
But first, I'm really sorry we keep doing this to you. Christine Lisi, you were saying.
And
finally, NBC has announced that Jim Carrey will play Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden on this season of Saturday Night Live.
Thank you, Christy. All right. I'm looking forward to that. That should be fun. And Alec Baldwin is going to be playing Donald Trump. So Bam Adebayo is with us on ESPN Radio. Should probably congratulate him for his star turn.
You agree. Biggest star in sports right now,
I mean,
right?
He got his moment, and people are impressed. And if you did not know this name, this is a name you're growing to know in this bubble. Kendrick Perkins has some trouble with the name.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Sposa.
Do that again. Yeah, you can hear him laughing. Do it again. Man, just
Bam
keep
out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Sposa.
That's so great.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Sposa.
We're tickling the giant. Just keep tickling.
Bam out of the bayou, well coached by Eric Sposa.
Bam, how many times? Thank you for joining us. Can you just put a number on this and congratulations on the victory? How many times have you seen your offhand blocked shot on video?
I mean, every time SportsCenter popped up on our TV or a TV.
I would imagine.
Yeah, but I delete social media because of the playoffs, so I didn't really see it that much on social media. But, you know, on the TV, I definitely see it a lot.
Well, explain this to me, because everyone keeps saying around the Heat are built for the bubble. Explain that to me.
We can't really explain it. You got to be in the culture to understand it.
Oh, wow. It's a Kane thing you wouldn't understand. It's a Heat thing you wouldn't understand. What do you mean I wouldn't understand? You can't explain to me what it means that to be built for the bubble. You guys, I take it, aren't doing a lot of complaining about the conditions or being away from people.
This is one of those things. I feel like I said earlier, you got to be a part of the culture to understand. And then you'll understand how to beat the bubble.
Bam, what do you say to people? Right, you guys have mastered the bubble.
They beat the bubble. They beat
the bubble. Right. Well, it's six to go, and then you beat in the bubble. But what do you say to people who are trying to minimize this, saying, you guys, you're doing it on neutral courts. You don't have to go on the road. I find it to be patently absurd. I'm not one of those people, just so you know. But what do you say to those people who are saying that, Bam?
Nothing. You just...
Yes. Leave it right there.
He is one of those people. He is absolutely one of those people.
Bam, I'll explain it for you because Dan seems to have a problem understanding what Heat culture is. It's the hardest working, most committed, nastiest, most competitive, most disliked team in the NBA. That's what it is inside the bubble. That's how you beat the bubble, Dan. Am I right, Bam?
I mean, that's a part of it, but it, like I said, You know the outside looking in part. Being in the culture and being a part of the team that's in this bubble, it's different.
Can you explain to the audience, for those who don't understand, because you're mild-mannered, you're not somebody who is, that we can necessarily imagine getting into a confrontation with Jimmy Butler, but everyone on the team communicates that way, correct? In terms of not afraid to tell each other the things they might not want to hear?
Yeah, that's a big thing about a team. Trust and honesty and communication. And, you know, during the midst of a game, you don't know how anybody's emotions are going to go. So somebody might say something to you. It might, from somebody looking at it, it might look wrong, or it might look like it's coming off wrong. But, you know, from me to Jimmy or Jimmy to Duncan or Goran to Jay Crowder, you know, we understand that it's nothing personal.
Is there a guy above all others on the team? I mean, it might be UD still, for all I know, that is most known as, hey, he's not to be trifled with. Like, it's okay. We could have those sparks and the confrontation and all of that is okay. But at the end of that, that's the guy who's most not to be trifled with around here.
You know, us going against each other or us going against somebody else?
Against each other. I'm talking about, like, because things can get heated. They can get competitive. They can get emotional because Pat Riley doesn't mind, back in the day, Alonzo Mourning getting in his face and, you know, Pat Riley saying is, hey, you could say F you to me, but just teach me something.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we all are. We're all like that.
Bam,
it's not just one particular person. Like, we're all built like that. You know, we all might come off and say something at somebody during the game, and it might sound wrong, but at the end of the day, we know it's to help one another.
Bam, the next time you saw Jason Tatum after that block, was there, like, what happened? What was that interaction like? Did you wink at him? Did you give him a nod? Like, what happened?
No, I haven't, well, besides us playing in game two, I haven't seen him around in the bubble. So, you know, me and Jason played AAU together, so we knew each other for a long time, but I ain't seen him yet. You know, it's the playoffs. Don't worry about the Miami Heat.
All right, is it really like that, though? If you run into a guy in the bubble from another team that you're playing, you got nothing for him? You got nothing to say to him because it's the playoffs, it's the bubble, and you're built to beat the bubble?
I feel like that's how it's supposed to be in any playoffs condition, no matter if we're in Miami or if we're in Boston. Like, it's the playoffs. Like, we're trying to win just like they're trying to win.
Bam, I read about your now infamous workout with the Miami Heat where they were putting you through kind of routine drills where they were testing your agility, and you told Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra, oh, you must have me bleeping confused. And still, people doubt you. You can guard 1 through 5. Are there any point guards in the NBA that still think they can take Bam Adebayo and got him bleeping confused?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to explain that for you. I can't answer that. But I feel like you can ask some of the guards around the league.
I want to ask this way. Are there times that you line up against a point guard and you see all the confidence in the world in that point guard's eyes because they think that they can take a center like you and you know you got them?
Yeah, I've been in that position before.
You're a bad man, Bam. I mean, you really
this
are.
Is a little uncomfortable, all the fawning around Bam Adebayo. We can be slightly less fawning about this. Is your wrist okay? Is the boo-boo okay? Like, everything all
my
right
wrist
there?
My wrist watching.
It was very painful watching
We're
you do that.
We're concerned about you.
Your fingers, everything okay?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm fine.
Yeah, right, good. All right,
well, how did you do
go,
that?
Man,
how did you do that? How was that done? Explain to us offhand. How does that happen?
Like an offhand block?
Yeah.
Yes.
Or just jumping in general.
Just all of that.
How did that happen?
Yeah, without getting tired.
I made a play. I mean, you know, the playoffs are made for players to make plays, and you know, I just made a hell of a play.
Popovich chose Plumlee over you. Have you forgiven him?
Nope.
I haven't.
Can he answer, please?
He did with his laughter.
Yeah, that was a good answer.
That's it?
It's no hard feelings, man. Yeah, like, they had to make a decision. That's their decision. Everybody has opinions, and, you know, that was their decision. So I had to live with that.
Way too diplomatic. Bam Adebayo with us on ESPN Radio. What are some of the cool things in the bubble? What are some of the things? I know you're built for the bubble. You don't have a lot of time for distractions, but have you snuck over to the teacups?
Nah. I went fishing once.
That's it. That's decadence for
it's
Bam.
All, listen,
for
Dan,
Bam Adebayo.
It's all about – they're chasing a championship.
Business trip.
Yeah, he doesn't go fishing. He sends teams.
He's fishing for a ring. I mean,
Bam, Mark Jones reported that Jimmy Butler doesn't like his birthday. So for his birthday, he had his chef make you guys really nice meals, and you had to come up and pick them up and then go to your room to eat them. He also made this a business trip. Were you guys allowed to say happy birthday to Jimmy Butler?
Yeah. Some of the rooks sang him happy birthday.
Oh, just the rookies.
Yeah, the rookies. The rookies got to sing happy birthday.
Who had the best singing voice?
Oh,
Tyler, right?
Oh, for the love of God.
Definitely Chris Silva.
Yeah?
Wow
really? A beautiful. Can you explain to us the relationship between Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero?
I mean, they're kind of like brothers. I mean, you're going to have to ask them their relationship. But for what I see, they're kind of like brothers. Like, Tyler kind of, you know, gravitated towards Jimmy before the season started, and, you know, Jimmy's been helping him ever since.
You're my brother.
Tyler Hero's from Wisconsin. I don't understand any of that. How is that from Wisconsin? Does that make any sense to you?
It does. It does. I mean, he's different, as everybody can see. He's definitely different.
Do you have anywhere on your, because you said you're not on social media, do you have anyone who's put for you somewhere? I don't know if you've seen the pictures, but the picture, the most amazing picture I saw of the block was the one where your wrist is that close to the rim and the ball is being denied.
Wait until he gets out of there and he turns on his social media. Are you a big star,
man? Have you seen the photo I'm talking about, Bam?
Yeah, I've seen it.
What do you do with that? Like, in terms of putting it in your house or celebrating it, screensaver in the future, what do you do with that?
I don't know. We'll wait till the end of the series, and I'll figure it out from there.
I know you're off social media. Magic Johnson called it the greatest block in preseason.
And he was right.
Come on.
And he
undersold it. Come on. It. Rachel Nichols already asked him about this. Yeah. We're doing reruns.
Greatest.
You know, It's Magic, first of all. It's Magic. The man played with a lot of great players. Yeah. So for him to say that, that's kind of like a big accomplishment.
I thought you were saying it was Magic, it was. It has nothing to do with Magic Johnson. It was just Magic. Bam, thank you for being on with us. This run has been a lot of fun for Miami. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
He's all business right now.
Really?
He's more confident and more focused than I've ever seen him before.
I really thought we hit it off.
He's 23. I'm embarrassed by how we behaved there. Embarrassed by the entirety of our show. I'm embarrassed on behalf of ESPN. Just embarrassing.
We really struck up a relationship.
You guys, we were swooning in a way. It's not uncomfortable. It's not comfortable.
It was one way.
It really was. We were flirting with the beautiful woman at the bar
who wanted nothing to do with us.
Tim Kirkshin is going to join us here in about 10 minutes, but a tweeter writes in, you could hear the point while they were talking to Bam in which Stugatz realized he was setting himself up for another Ronda Rousey type of smackdown, and he quickly put it in reverse like a star in our tornado movie, realizing the tornado is heading right for him.
What do you say to people who say if you're the UFC's biggest draw, the biggest star, that the UFC is in a bad place right now, needs more stars?
Well, the same thing that I think about people that quote some people. It's usually them stating their own opinion but don't want to take any heat for it.
That's a good memory.
Well, you remembered it. The reason I noticed it, it's the first evidence I have of you learning anything. In the middle of it, you realized you put it in reverse because you're like, I have not been doing that. I have not been saying such things, Bam. I want to sink into that interview for a second because I don't expect you, the audience, to have enjoyed it, but I can't explain to you how much we enjoyed it. The just incessant, stupid fawning. The incessant, stupid fawning was something that was really uncomfortable if you're the audience and you're listening to that and you're not a Miami Heat fan.
Stupid. Stupid. I'll give you that we were fawning and it was nonstop, but stupid. I mean, this dude deserves it.
Nothing stupid about it. There's a couple of ways you can go with interviews because I'm certain the audience did not enjoy that. I agree with Dan. But when the guy is giving you, okay, the person you're interviewing is giving you a lot, then we don't have to do that. When he gives you nothing, and he wasn't giving us a lot, he's tired, he's got a lot going on, it's a business trip, we have to fawn.
We asked the wrong questions, because he was willing to talk when Chris inexplicably asked him about wonderful Miami Heat singing voices, and he gave you an answer that was startling. Chris Silva.
Who's out with like a fractured groin.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a fractured groin?
Yeah, it's a hairline fracture along the groin, be able to get the high notes, as Bam just pointed out, is impressive.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, please. Did you know you could fracture your groin? Because that is not something I even knew could possibly happen. Chris, were you proud of yourself that you squeezed out of Bam, you squeezed a good answer out of him, you got some facts, he wanted to talk, you really cracked him open?
It's the obvious follow-up when somebody asks, says that people sang. It's the obvious follow-up.
Kirkshin next.